Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know. But some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they?
Yes, I guess you're right. Well, we haven't really met properly, have we?
Why, no.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, I'm not feeling at all well. You see, it's very tedious being stuck up here all day long with a hole up your back.
Oh, dear, that must be terribly uncomfortable. Can't you get down?
Down? No, you see, I'm...
Oh, well, here, let me help you.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Very kind.
Well, dear, I don't quite see how I can...
Of course, I'm not bright about doing things. But if you'll just bend the nail down in the back, maybe I'll slip off and come...
Oh, yes.
Oh, whoops! There goes some of me again.
Oh, does it hurt you?
Oh, no, I just keep picking it up and putting it back in again. My, it's good to be free.
Oh, no.
Did I scare you?
No, I just thought you hurt yourself.
But I didn't scare you?
No, of course not.
I didn't think so. Boo, scared. Boo. You see? I can't even scare a crow. They come from miles around just to eat in my field and laugh in my face. Oh, I'm a failure because I haven't got a brain.
Well, what would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why. The ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before.
And then I'd sit and think some more.
I would not be just a nothing. My head all full of stuffing. My heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry. Life would be a ding-a-derry if I only had a brain.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith. And, of course, Brother Moses Henry Jones is not here, but I'm here in his stead, and I am the Wolf Tracker. I'm filling in, I'm pinch hitting for my buddy. And, of course, tonight the topic is Paula White's son, Bradley Knight. Paula White has been going around telling anyone that would listen that her son Bradley Knight is a pulpit phenom. but I am of a different opinion. When I listen to Bradley Knight, I hear a preaching nitwit. And that's what today's show's all about. The number here is area code 516-418-5978. Again, let me just go slow. 516-418-5978. And I hope that Bradley Knight is listening, because I want to extend to him an invitation to call the broadcast so he and I can duke it out on the air for your enjoyment. Now, let's see if Bradley Knight will grow a spine. Let's see if he's man enough to call the broadcast and answer for his mother's lies. Because his mother's a liar. He is no phenom. He is no phenom. Paula White wants us to think that her son today is one of the leading voices in the church. That's what she claims. I'm going to play the audio very, very shortly. She wants us to think that her son Bradley is the present-day embodiment of such church greats as Irenaeus, Origen, Cyprian, Tertullian, Hippolytus, Augustine, Chrysostom, Ambrose, Jerome, and Victorinus, all wrapped up into one. But I'm here to tell you that Bradley Knight is simply as dumb as his mother. That's it. He is following in the footsteps of his dim-witted mother. So as we wait for Bradley Knight to call in the broadcast, let me play for you the audio where his mother claims that he is a phenom. Let's listen to this. I didn't make this up. This is Paula White talking. She's bragging about her son. And, of course, we want to know if any of this is true. And the best way to do this is to take what he says and match it to the Word of God. So let's listen to Paula White brag on her son, Bradley. Here's the audio.
That if I denied the name of Jesus, there'd be no hope for them. Every one of my family members now is saved. Yes. Every one of them. What you have contact with, you'll have connection with. Remain standing, I've got almost through. So contact creates connection, and connection creates impartation, which determines output.
Sounds to me that she sounds just as stupid. Right there, that's a perfect example of Paula White just talking stupid like the Scarecrow. You know, the Scarecrow, Dorothy asked him, how could you talk if you don't have a brain? He says, well, lots of people that don't have brains talk. Paula White's an example. Here she is.
Hope for them. Every one of my family members now is saved. Yes. Every one of them.
Now listen, here comes the stupid part.
What you have contact with, you'll have connection with. Remain standing, I've got almost through. So contact creates connection, and connection creates impartation.
Does anybody know what she's saying? Nobody has a clue. Not even her. She doesn't even have a clue.
Which determines output. So whatever's imparted to you is what's going to come out of you. What comes out of me is a result of what is going into me. Proverbs 13:20. I was sitting telling the girls today.
Here it comes. She was telling the girls about her son. Anybody who would listen to this woman's idiotic drivel, she will tell them that her son is a phenom. This woman who again, she goes on TV and tells everyone, my assignment, my calling, is to be the president's pastor and spiritual advisor. And this dim-witted woman, wherever she goes, wherever she's invited, and she's invited to a lot of places, but of course, when you check out the churches, I mean, they're just as stupid and retarded and dim-witted as she is. They'll listen to anything. So here she is. I was telling the girls. I was telling them about my son. And listen what I told them.
And who, unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area. But my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers.
Her son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers. She just said it. Her son today is no longer a crackhead, like she says. He was on drugs. He was on crack. He's no longer an atheist. No, today, my son Bradley is one of the most profound voices, one of the most profound preachers. Here it is again. Can't make this stuff up. Well, you can if you're Paula.
Which determines output. So whatever's imparted to you is what's going to come out of you. What comes out of me is a result of what is going into me. Proverbs 13:20. I was sitting telling the girls today, say, my son, who unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area. But my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers. Profound. Revelation like
it's going out of style. He's a profound preacher. He gets downloads of revelation.
Pastors of church moves in the supernatural.
Pastors of church moves in the supernatural. You know what I've noticed? This is what I've noticed. Because she just said he pastors the church and moves in the supernatural. If he's moving in the supernatural, snails, slugs. Today I was doing a little bit of raking, and I came across some slugs. If he moves in the anointing, I got to tell you, the slugs in the backyard move in a greater anointing than he does. The kid is dim-witted slow. If he's moving in the spirit, if he's flowing in the supernatural, I got slugs in my backyard. I got inchworms. I got snails in my yard that move faster and flow more in the spirit than he does.
Going to come out of you. What comes out of me is a result of what is going into me. Proverbs 13:20. I was sitting telling the girls today, say, my son, who unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area. But my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers. Profound revelation, like unbelievably. Pastors of the church moves in the supernatural.
Pastors of the church and moves in the supernatural. Listen, when months ago, when they gave Paula White that dopey position over there at the White House, what was it? What initiative? Faith and something initiative, and she got a little office in the closet somewhere in the White House. Okay, she gave the church to her son. She made this big announcement. It was all over the newspapers. Paula White hands church over to her son. Her son becomes the senior pastor of New Destiny Christian Center Church. Okay, now that she's no longer there because of the coronavirus, now that she's been booted back home, now that she's been sent packing because the germaphobe president doesn't want that skank anywhere near him, now that she's back at Apopka, you can't find Bradley. Bradley's no longer the senior pastor. Now she's doing every broadcast, raising every offering, scamming every night. That's Paula White. Where's the phenom? Where's the guy that moves in the supernatural? Where is the pastor with the great anointing? Where is he? He can't be found. And don't tell me he's in quarantine. Don't tell me that. Don't give me that lame excuse. He can do services from his house. He's done them before. He's done little things where he's on his porch talking and rambling on and pushing his own drivel. Don't give me that baloney. He's in quarantine with his wife and kids. He's a senior pastor. Where is he? Well, he's nowhere to be found because Mama told him, get off the throne. I'm back. I got to do something here. So much for, he's such a phenom that every time she comes back, she kicks them off whenever she wants. She tells them to go sit down in the corner because the apostle is back. The apostle.
Which determines output. So whatever's imparted to you is what's going to come out of you. What comes out of me is a result of what is going into me. Proverbs 13:20. I was sitting telling the girls today, saying,
I hate to think what's going into you, and I hate to think what's coming out of you. Listen, please. I hate to think what's going into her and what's coming out of her. I hate to think it. I hate to think that she's got a legion of demons possessing her, housed inside of her, and then every time she talks is another doctrine of demons. I hate to think what's going inside her and what's coming out. I hate to think it. But you heard her. Whatever goes into you has to come out of you.
Unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area. But my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers. Profound, revelation, like unbelievably.
No one's ever heard of him. Profound? What is he, Ambrose? What is he, Augustine of Hippo? Who is he, Clement of Alexandria? Is he Origen? Is he Irenaeus? Is he Cyprian? Is he Hippolytus? Is he Chrysostom? Is he Golden Mouth? Is he Ambrose? Is he St. Jerome, who translated the Hebrew and Greek testaments into the Latin? Who is? He's so profound. Oh, he's so profound. My son Bradley. No, lady, your son is a scarecrow without a brain. That's who he is.
Supernatural. I mean, she's, it's a phenom. But for 9 years of his life.
Oh, he's a phenom. He's something special. He's something special. Yeah, okay, lady. Yeah. Like I said, I got slugs in my backyard that move faster, think faster, can calculate, can add and subtract and do division and know their multiplication tables more than your son knows theology. Yeah, Bradley is a phenom. Yeah. I guess, listen. I guess Bradley went to the same school his mother went to. You know, his mother Paula, we've been told time and time again, and I have many audio clips, many audio clips, where people introduce Paula as Dr. Paula. Here's one audio clip.
The thing I'm excited about tonight and really, really, really glad to have is this tremendous woman of God who I feel silly trying to introduce her because everybody in the world knows her. If you don't know who this woman is, you don't have a TV. You don't have a cell phone. You don't have a computer. You haven't been anywhere. She is a pastor extraordinaire.
Yeah.
She is a life coach. She is an author in her own right.
Yeah.
She is a woman of integrity that God is using in a very, very unique way. Not only in Church Without Walls there in Tampa, Florida, but throughout America and around the world. Would you welcome Dr. Paula White? We are glad to have you.
T.D. Jakes just called her Dr. Paula White. Where did Paula White get a doctorate from? Where? What school? What school did she go to? Is she a high school graduate? Is she that? Do we even know that? Do we have proof of that? We don't have any proof that she's even a high school graduate. She might be. She might be. We don't know. But I do know one thing. She has no doctorate degree. I can tell you that much. There's no way that this woman could have a doctorate degree. No way. No way. Well, there's one way. Maybe she got her doctorate degree from a diploma mill. Or maybe someone gave her an honorary doctorate degree. Maybe. Or she got her doctorate where Bradley one day will get his doctorate from the Wizard of Oz. Maybe.
Why anybody can have a brain. Well, that's a very mediocre commodity. Every pusillanimous creature that crawls on the earth or slinks through slimy seas has a brain. Back where I come from, we have universities, seats of great learning, where men go to become great thinkers. And when they come out, they think deep thoughts, and with no more brains than you have. But they have one thing you haven't got, a diploma. Therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Universitatis Comitiatum e Pluribus Unum, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Ph.D.
Ph.D.?
That's Doctor of Thinkology.
Sum of the square roots of any two sides of an isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the remaining side.
Oh, George, I've got a brain!
No, a piece of paper doesn't give you a brain, and you will only get that kind of a lie if you go get a degree from the Wizard of Oz. So that explains it. Paula got her degree from the Wizard of Oz, and now her son Bradley is a phenom. Her son Bradley moves in the supernatural. Oh, he's so anointed. He's so mightily used of God. That's according to Paula. And I'm still waiting for Bradley. I'm still waiting for the phenom to call the show. I'm still waiting for the super pastor to call the show. Where is Bradley Knight? Why has he tucked tail and run? Where is Bradley Knight tonight? The number here is 516-418-5978. He opened up his big trap when Shai Lin put out the song False Teachers. He opened up his big mouth and started to bark and howl like a little wolf that he is when Shai Lin put out the song False Teachers and named his mother among 12 of the false teachers in the song. He was a big mouth then. What happened, Bradley? What happened? Aren't you a phenom? Aren't you the present-day Augustine of Hippo? Where's Bradley Knight? Is he hiding under his mother's skirt? Oh, that's right. His mother, the scarecrow, doesn't wear skirts. She wears her scarecrow pants. She was wearing scarecrow pants when she went over to Rodney Howard Brown. Oh, my goodness, that video was just awful. I thought the scarecrow had jumped off the tree and walked over to Rodney Howard Brown's church. And in that church, he too presented her, and that wasn't too long ago, he too presented her as, let us welcome Dr. Paula White Cain. Again, where did Paula get her doctorate? Where did she get her? Did anybody in the White House vet this woman? I'm not the only one asking this question. There are tens of thousands of people out there who are not impressed with her book, Something Greater. What a piece of garbage book that was. And I want to thank my friend for getting me a copy. Listen, People, look, Saints, listen to me. Walmart ran out of toilet paper. Do you need toilet paper right now? I'm pretty sure over there at the discount bin at Walmart, they must have copies of Something Greater. Go get yourself a couple of books. You can probably get them for a quarter. Don't give Paula White the quarter that she's asking for in a donation. Just go get one of her books, Something Greater, and use that as toilet paper. It's garbage. Garbage. Garbage book. Where's her son? Where's the superhero? Where's the guy who wears the Batman t-shirts? Where's the greasy scarecrow himself? The greasy scarecrow from Apopka. That's Bradley Knight. The phenom. I got to play that again. I got to play that phenom audio again. Got to do it. Here it is.
Whatever's imparted to you is what's going to come out of you. What comes out of me is a result of what is going into me. Proverbs 13:20. I was sitting telling the girls today, saying, my son, who unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area. But my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers. Profound revelation, like unbelievably.
Then why is he sitting down? Why is it that when they shut down the White House and you had to leave because of the coronavirus lockdown and you're back at home in Apopka, why is it that we haven't seen Bradley? If he's such a phenom, if he gets profound revelation, why did you sit him down like a child in a corner and said, stay there until I'm done? Why? Why? Because he's not a phenom. Because he's not. Because he has the charisma. Listen to me. He has the charisma of an inchworm. That's what he has. The charisma of an inchworm. My goodness, when that kid starts talking, you start falling asleep.
Moves in the supernatural. I mean, it's a phenom. But for nine.
Yeah, he's a phenom, sure. All right, so let's hear the phenom. Let's hear the phenom. Let's hear Bradley. He's got this revelation. He got this revelation during some baby dedications, which are really he's a sacramentalist. That's tomorrow's show. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. You don't want to miss the tomorrow's show where Bradley Knight, the phenom, declares himself to be a sacramentalist. What a moron. All right, here's a clip of Bradley Knight during a baby dedication / Roman Catholic style baptism / chunky soup / hot mess over there at Apopka. Let's listen to Bradley. Let's listen to the phenom.
Yes, we're going to dedicate some children. And we'll get you out of here quick. If you want to leave, I think you're walking out on some blessing. Even though it's other people's kids, I think you're walking out on some blessing. There's a couple things. The water that we baptize them in, I think I have a prophetic instruction.
Oh, wait a minute. He's getting a supernatural download. And if it's like the downloads that his mother gets, you're in for a treat, saints. You're in for a treat because now you're going to hear, you're going to hear retardation on steroids. I think I got a prophetic instruction. Really? Did you get it out of the book of Revelation? Did you get it out of the book of Isaiah? Did you get it out of Zechariah? Did that prophetic instruction come to you by means of something that Elisha said in 1 Kings? Because if not, it's not a prophetic instruction. Here he is.
I think you're walking out on some blessing. Even though it's other people's kids, I think you're walking out on some blessing. There's a couple things. The water that we baptize them in, I think I have a prophetic instruction.
Now notice how he says we're doing baby dedication. But it's not really baby dedication, it's baptism. He's a sacramentalist. And that's bad news. That's bad news if he's a sacramentalist, because if he's a sacramentalist, then he's an ecumenist. And if he's an ecumenist, he's part of the last days of apostate church. He's part of the church of Antichrist. So that just tells you how bright he is. Listen, he's as bright as a candle. He's not a 10-watt bulb. He's as bright as a birthday candle. One of them little skinny candles, one of those that you put on the birthday cake. He's as bright as a little birthday candle. Now, notice how he talks. He says, we're going to be doing some baby dedications in a minute. But then he says, and this water that we're baptizing them in. So which one is it, baby dedication or baptism? Which one is it? Well, it's syncretism. It's a combination of both. It's called ecumenism. That's what it's called. How can he be so bright and fall for this lie called ecumenism? because he's not bright. He's quite stupid.
This nation, but we're going to dedicate children. Yes.
Did you hear him? He says, we're going to dedicate children. Dedicating children and baptizing them are two different things. And if you don't believe me, I can show you tons of scriptures where they dedicated children and there's no water involved.
This nation, but we're going to dedicate children. Yes, we're going to dedicate some children. And we'll get you out of here quick. If you want to leave, I think you're walking out on some blessing. Even though it's other people's kids, I think you're walking out on some blessing. There's a couple things. The water that we baptize them in, I think I have a prophetic instruction.
The water that we baptize them in. Which one is it? I've dedicated my children. They weren't put in any kind of water. None whatsoever. A Christian baby dedication, a Protestant baby dedication, is completely different from Roman Catholic baptism of children. Completely different. We are not we Protestants are not sacramentalist. Roman Catholics are, and members of the apostate church are sacramentalist. So that just tells you in what vein Paul the White's church is flowing in. But they wouldn't know. This present-day Augustine of Hippo wouldn't know that. This present-day Ambrose wouldn't know that. This Tertullian wouldn't know that. This Origen wouldn't know that. Because he's too stupid. He's too stupid.
Other people's kids, I think you're walking out on some blessing. There's a couple things. The water that we baptize them in, I think I have a prophetic instruction. The water that we're about to baptize the children in, they're going to be anointed. Prophet Gideon's going to do it because there's a spiritual connection between him and Nicholas, too, in terms of what Nicholas is supposed to do and see. And so I'm so honored that he's here and doing it. After we're done with the baptisms and the process, those women who are believing for a child, I want you to come up, dip your fingers in the water, and touch your womb.
Now, this is the prophetic instruction. He says, to you women who want to have a child, but obviously you can. After we dunk all these babies, and listen, what they're doing is they're not dunking them head first. They're dunking them hiney first, hiney. Their little bottoms with their diaper. He's dunking them in this cauldron, putting them in there with dirt. Now, those diapers haven't been changed because the parents have been sitting there all morning. So there's got to be some poo-poo in those diapers. There's got to be some urine in those diapers. And what he's doing is he's dunking the kids hiney first, little booty first, little bottom first. He's dunking them in this water and then taking some of that water and putting it on their heads. That's what I'm assuming. But either way, you dunk 10, 15 kids in that water, you're going to have Lipton soup in a little while. You have little chunks of yellow stuff in the water. And what this idiot is saying is what he's encouraging women to do, women who can't get pregnant, stick your hand in this water after we're finished. Stick your hands in this coronavirus. Basically, that's what it is. It's a coronavirus hotbed. Stick your hands in that and then take that wet hand and put it in your womb. That's his prophetic instruction. I've never heard of anything so stupid. But again, this is the phenom. This is the guy who flows in the supernatural. This is the guy who gets revelation, a profound revelation. Oh, he's so profound, so deep. He's so deep. Here it is again.
So I'm so honored that he's here and doing it.
After we've dunked all these babies in, dirty diaper and all. After we're done, listen to what he wants women to do.
In the process, Those women who are believing for a child, I want you to come up, dip your fingers in the water, and touch your womb.
Those women believing for a child, stick your fingers in the water. Can you imagine if Donald Trump was at Paula's church that morning? Donald Trump, the president who's a germaphobe. Can you imagine, Mr. President, can I lay hands on you, Mr. President? Bradley would have said, can I lay hands on you, Mr. President? Do you think the president would have allowed greasy scarecrow to lay hands on him? I don't think so. But he's telling women, after we're done and we get all these kids in this water, after we dunk them, after we do whatever we're going to do with them, and once the water gets nice and yellow, then you can come up here and stick your fingers in there. Like I said, I mean, that must have been the, who knows, maybe that's where the coronavirus started. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know. Or some kind of virus. Maybe the stupid virus started that way. Maybe the moron virus. Maybe the retard virus. Who knows? And here he is. Here he is telling women to stick their hands into that dirty water and then put it in your womb. Touch your womb.
For a child, I want you in doing it after we're done with the baptisms and the process. Those women who are believing for a child, I want you to come up, dip your fingers in the water, and touch your womb. Those men who are believing for a child, I want you to come up, dip your fingers in the water, and grab your parts. I know that sounds vulgar, but I'm serious.
Yeah, he wants the guys to also come up. See, you women, you go stick your fingers in that dirty water, and then you touch your womb. And then you guys go and stick your hand after your wife sticks her hand, you stick your hand, and then you put it on your parts. He says, I know that sounds vulgar. No, it sounds nasty. It sounds contagious. No, that's what it sounds crazy. That's what it sounds like. It sounds loony. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like this is a profound. I got a prophetic instruction. You must be out of your mind. You have to be crazy to be instructing people to put their hands in nasty water, water that has bacteria in it, water that has yellow substances floating on it, must look like chicken soup in a cauldron, in a pot. It's a big pot. And you're going to stick your hands in there and then put it on your privates. You're going to go underneath your underwear and put it on your privates. So what? So that I can get some venereal disease? So that I can come to... Are you kidding me? But when you look at Bradley, it looks like he's never seen a bottle of shampoo. Bradley, can you call the show here? Bradley, can you call 516-418-5978? Have you seen Bradley Knight's hair? It seems to me like he still has. Maybe that's why he's getting these profound downloads, because maybe instead of using shampoo and conditioner, instead of using Head and Shoulders or some kind of shampoo, he's sticking it. He may still have that cauldron, and he's probably sticking his head in it so that he can grow a brain. It looks so greasy. But this is not what I'm ranting about here. What follows is even crazier. What follows? What follows is evenly more dumber than what he said before. Much more ludicrous than what he said before. And here it is.
That's how my son came about. When I grabbed myself and I said, Nicholas, it's your time to come forth, the Lord told me. I'm not trying to be funny. You know, you can do it privately.
That's how his son Nicholas came forth. He stuck his hand in some dirty water. He grabbed his private parts, and he said, Nicholas! Oh, Nicholas! Come forth. Oh, Nicholas! Now, remember, this is the, one of the leading voices in America. He is profound. He's a profound preacher. He's a phenom. He gets these profound revelations. And he just said, this is how my son came forth. I put my hands in dirty water. I grabbed my private parts. And I began to confess, Nicholas, come forth. And based on that, he feels that he can encourage other couples who are having a tough time conceiving, that the man and the wife can come up there and stick their hands in this dirty water and then put it on their private parts and begin to, you know, confess that their children are going to come forth. Here it is again. Before I go into the Bible. And while I play this, it's time for Bradley to call the show. It's time.
I know it sounds vulgar, but I'm serious. Those men who are believing for a child, I want you to come up, dip your fingers in the water, and grab your parts. I know it sounds vulgar, but I'm serious. I'm serious. That's how my son came about. When I grabbed myself and I said, Nicholas, it's your time to come forth, the Lord told me. I'm not trying to be funny. You can do it privately.
Of course they're going to do it privately. They're not going to do it there in public. But it's insane. What you're recommending is insane. And that's not how your son came forth. I'm sorry to tell you. If that's the way, listen. Bradley, let me be straight up with you. If you think that your son came forth because you stuck your hand in dirty water and then grabbed your private parts and said, Nicholas, come forth. If you think that that's the way your son came forth, I'm sorry to tell you. You better have a DNA test done on your son. Because if that's how he came forth, he can't be yours. Because that's not how babies are made. I don't know if Paula ever spoke to you about the birds and the bees. I know she's spoken to everybody else about the birds and the bees. I know she's told everybody else to watch porn. Maybe she hasn't encouraged you to watch porn like she encouraged the whole church to watch porn. But let me tell you something. If that's the way you think babies, remember in the olden days they used to tell girls, you get pregnant when you kiss somebody. Don't kiss a boy or you'll get pregnant. Don't kiss that boy or you're gonna get pregnant. Well, that's a lie. The same thing here. If you actually think that if you dip your hands in that nasty water and then grab your privates and begin to confess, you begin to decree and declare, Nicholas, come forth. If you think that's the way your son arrived, that's the way your son was conceived, you better go have a test done. Because that's not your baby. If that's the way you think it happened, I'm here to tell you that's not your baby. It can't be. Because that's the same thing like telling a young girl, if you kiss the boy, you're going to get pregnant. Girls don't get pregnant by kissing a boy. Something else has to happen. The same way you cannot sow a child simply by dipping your hands in water and putting it where it doesn't belong and then tell the baby, come forth. Come. That's not the way it happens. That's not the way it happens. Listen, you're missing a link. And of course, this is a family program, so maybe Jonathan Cain, your fifth stepfather, let me see, how many stepfathers has he had? He's had Randy, Benny Hinn doesn't count. No, that was too short. Okay, I lost count. Listen, have Jonathan Cain explain to you the birds and the bees. Because I'm going to tell you right now, If that's the way Nicholas came, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Okay. Let's read the Bible. Let's read what the Bible has to say. Again, he's a biblical phenom. He's a great preacher. All right. I'm going to give you four biblical examples. First example, Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca were having a problem with conceiving. It says here in Genesis chapter 25, and open up your Bible, and Bradley, open up your Bible. Genesis 25, starting at verse number 19, and we don't have to read very long because by verse 21, case closed. It says here in Genesis 25, 19, these are the generations of Isaac. Now, regeneration is life produced by the Holy Spirit. Again, what is regeneration? Life produced by the Holy Spirit. But generation is life produced by man. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. That means they had intimate relationship. Again, Jonathan Cain could explain to you the birds and the bees. So Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padamaran, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. He prayed to God for his wife because his wife was barren. She was having a hard time conceiving. Now notice, he prayed. Isaac did not dip his hand in nasty water and put it on his private parts and began to say, I decree and declare, Nicholas, come forth. No, that's not what Isaac did. The Bible says, and Isaac entreated the Lord. He called upon God. Why did he call upon God? Because although him and his wife were intimate, she was having a hard time conceiving. Isaac didn't tell his wife, I got a prophetic instruction, honey, go dip your hands in nasty water and put it in your womb, and I'm at the same time going to stick my hand in nasty water and put it on my privates, and you start confessing, and I'll start confessing, Nicholas, come forth. That's not the way it happens. Verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and his wife conceived. See, you go to God in prayer. When a couple is having a hard time conceiving, you turn to the Lord in prayer, and God will see fit to heal the woman's womb and to ensure that she conceives. But you sticking your hand in dirty water, and your wife sticking her hand in dirty water, and you two putting it on your privates and start to call for children, that's not the way it's going to happen. So much for being a phenom. So much for being profound in revelation. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 30. The next couple, Jacob and Rachel. Jacob, and listen, I'm just going to give you four. I don't need to beat a dead donkey. You've heard the expression, you don't need to beat a dead horse. I don't need to beat a dead donkey. It says here in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. Let's read. And when Rachel saw that she could not bear Jacob any children, Rachel envied her sister. And Rachel said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob was angry with Rachel, and he said unto her, am I in God's place? Woman, am I God, who have withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Listen, don't bother me, the man. There's nothing I can do for you. Listen, we're intimate. But you're not getting pregnant. Who am I, God? You got to turn to God. You got to leave me alone. You got to stop pestering me. Just listen, if you can't get pregnant, go to God. Stop coming to me. I cannot do any. Now, I'm pretty sure Jacob would have said, I'm not as crazy as Bradley Knight. I'm not going to tell you to stick. Rachel, why don't you go stick your hands in some dirty water? And I'm going to stick my hand in some dirty water, and then together, simultaneously, on the count of three, you start confessing the child, and I'll start doing it, and together we'll decree and declare, and the baby will pop out. No. You need to go to God. So, in chapter 30, verse 22, it says, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened unto her, and God opened her womb, and she conceived, and she bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called the name of this son Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son." You see, Bradley, you can't add anything. You can't call anything. You can stick your hands in dirty water all you want, but that's not how little babies are conceived. That's not how it's done. God's got to get involved, not you. Not you with your prophetic instructions. Now, of course, you need to get involved when you get intimate with your wife, but that's how far as it goes. And then God gets involved, and as it says here in the text, God opened up her womb, and Rachel conceived. All right, the next example, the third example, is that of Elkanah and Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, here is Hannah. She's praying. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "And Hannah vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me." Now remember, it says that God remembered Rachel. In Genesis 30, it says, "And God remembered Rachel." So Hannah, knowing the scriptures, Hannah knowing the story, she says, "The same way you remembered Rachel, remember me. And forget not thy handmaid. But if you will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his," what? "His head." Okay, so what does she do? She goes to God in prayer. She bypasses Eli. She ignores Eli. Eli's in the temple. She bypasses him, and she goes directly to God, because as Rachel learned, there's not a thing a man can do for you. There's not a thing Jacob can do for you. There's not a thing that the high priest can do for you. You need to go to God, and that's what Hannah did. She went to God. In verse 19, it says, They rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. That's a euphemism. They had sexual intimacy. After they left church, after they left the tabernacle, after they said goodbye to Eli and they returned home, Hannah was intimate with her husband. It says, and Elkanah knew his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. That's verse 19. Verse 20, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about that Hannah had conceived, and she bore a son, and she called his name," what? "Samuel," saying, "because I asked him of the Lord." She asked. She didn't decree and declare. She didn't confess. She asked God. She went to God in prayer. You can put your hands in dirty water and confess and decree and declare all you want. You can say, "Nicholas, come forth." That he's not coming forth that way. You are not the little God. You're the human being. So much for being profound in revelation. So, it says in verse number 24, "And when Hannah had weaned Samuel, she took him with her with three bullocks and an ophah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought them into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my lord Eli, as thy soul liveth, my lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed," the same way Isaac prayed, on Rebecca's behalf. The same way Rachel prayed unto the Lord on her own behalf. It says here, Hannah says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord have given me my petition, which I asked him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. See? See? How do you get a prophet? You get a prophet by asking the Lord. They got little Samuel by asking the Lord, not by sticking their hands in nasty water. And if you notice, Bradley, if you notice, the Bible is quite consistent. You want a child, go to God in prayer. And then be intimate with your wife. And keep going to God in prayer. But it doesn't mean you stick your hands in dirty water. And then you take those nasty, infected hands and then put them on your private parts and then start decreeing and declaring. That's not how it happens. Well, Brother Wolf Tracker, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not. I'm not exaggerating. That's what the guy said to do. The guy who won't call the show. The guy who won't answer for this audio. The guy who said he got a prophetic instruction. He won't call the show.
I want you to come up, dip your fingers in the water, and grab your inner, grab your parts. I know that sounds vulgar, but I'm serious. I'm serious. That's how my son came about. When I grabbed myself and I said, "Nicholas, it's your time to come forth," the Lord told me. I'm not trying to be funny. You don't even...
No, listen, in fact, this is quite serious. I don't know if anybody told you about the birds and the bees, buddy. I don't know if anybody told you about the birds and the bees. No, it is no laughing matter. Better go have a DNA test done. All right. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, this talks about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was old, Sarah was old, they were past the conceiving age, past it. But look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, "As it is written, I, the Lord, have made thee, Abraham, a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who does what? Who quickeneth the dead." That's what God does. Only God can resurrect the dead, not you, not me. Only God who quickeneth the dead, that's what the Bible says, "and calleth those things which are not as though they were." Listen, only God can say, in a world where there is no light, "Let there be light, and there will be light." Only God can say, in a world where there are no stars, only God can call forth the stars, and they will appear. You can't take your hands and put them on your privates and start confessing and start saying, "Nicholas, come forth." That's insane. You're not God. You cannot call those things that be not as though they were. That's not how it happened for Isaac and Rebekah. That's not how it happened for Jacob and Rachel. That's not how it happened for Elkanah and Hannah. And that's not how it happened for Abraham and Sarah. That's not how it happened. God had to be involved each and every time. Each and every time. It is God, not you, not me. Only the Lord can call those things that be not as though they were. Only God can call a child forth. And even that, it must happen, as the Bible says, and Elkanah knew his wife, and Isaac knew his wife, and Adam knew his wife Eve. There has to be the human part and then the divine part to produce man. That's the way it works. So here's Bradley Knight refusing to call in the show, but yet this profound preacher, according to his mother now, this is the prophetic instruction that he gives us. Listen to this craziness. for the last time today.
I want you to come up, dip your fingers in the water, and grab your inner, grab your parts. I know that sounds vulgar, but I'm serious. I'm serious. That's how my son came about. When I grabbed myself and I said, Nicholas, it's your time to come forth, the Lord told me. I'm not trying to be funny. You can do it privately, but...
If I sat around a campfire, with a bunch of guys, and we were talking about our families, and I would say to them, you know, one day I was in church and I felt I heard from the Lord to stick my hands in some dirty water. I went to the bathroom and there was the toilet, and I stuck my hand in the dirty water and I put my hand on my private parts and I said, listen, Junior, come forth. And fellas, I got to tell you, once I did that, once I put my hands in the toilet water in the men's bathroom, and then I put it on my privates, and then I said, Junior, come forth. And lo and behold, brothers, Junior came forth. My friends would be laughing. That's what you did? Yeah. Well, you better find out who Junior's daddy is. Because if that's how Junior came forth, buddy, you got problems. Junior's not Junior. At least not your Junior. This is insanity. But yet again, Paula claims that her son is the phenom. Well, Bradley never called in. He never called in. It's too chicken. So we're going to have to do what we need to do. And I'm going to be back tomorrow. I need to be back tomorrow. Because tomorrow I'm going to do part two in this series. Because I have another clip from Bradley. I got another teaching that Bradley put forth that I want to put under the biblical microscope to see if he's really the phenom that his mother claims that he is, or maybe he's the retarded nut that his mother gave birth to. Maybe that's it. We'll find out tomorrow. Which one is it? Phenom or retard? Which one? My guess, it's an educated guess. My guess is that the retarded apple doesn't fall too far from the retarded tree. Now, in lieu of the fact that Bradley never called the show tonight, not only does he need a brain, but he needs nerve, because he's acting like the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz. So in honor of Bradley, who failed to call the show, who failed to be courageous, who failed to be a man of faith, who failed to be a true warrior of Scripture, because he failed and he's hiding under his mother's skirts, we want to play this closing song on behalf of not only the scarecrow of Apopka, but the guy who also doubles as the cowardly lion of Apopka.
Shame on you!
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs...
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally, when you go around picking on things weaker than you are, why, you're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right, I am a coward. I haven't any courage at all. I even scare myself. Look at the cycles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Why don't you try counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
Oh, that's too bad. Don't you think the wizard could help him, too?
I don't see why not. Why don't you come along with us? We're on our way to see the wizard now, to get him a heart.
And him a brain.
I'm sure he could give you some courage.
Well... wouldn't you feel degraded to be seen in the company of a cowardly lion? I would.
Oh, of course not.
Gee, that's awfully nice of you. My life has been simply unbearable.
Oh, well, it's all right now. The wizard will fix everything.
It's been in me so long. I just gotta tell you how I feel.
Well, come on.
Yeah, it's sad, believe me, Missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the feminine vibe. But I could show my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the nerve. I'm afraid there's no denying, I'm just a dandelion, a fate I don't deserve. I'd be brave as a blizzard.
I'd be gentle as a lizard.
I'd be clever as a gizzard.
If the wizard is a wizard, who will serve?
Then I'm sure to get a brain, a heart,
a home,
the knife.